Hi, this is Corey. I hope you and I can get married someday.
Welcome back to the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Hey, everybody.
Joel and Corey.
I'm Corey, that's Joel.
Corey wants to get married someday?
I do.
Do you?
We're going to have our commitment ceremony soon, I think.
We're back after a big, long break.
Yeah.
Because I was out of town.
We're back and less popular than ever, everybody.
I know. Thank you all for your lack of support. We love you.
Yeah, you guys suck. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for never voting for us.
You know, it's so funny. It takes 2 seconds to vote, and our friends and our listeners are too busy. They can't really.
Give us a little more music. Let us hear. Let people enjoy the music. Little LCD sound system for it. Come on, Corey. Let's dance with our hands above our head. Like proper homos. Come on, guy.
Yeah.
Woo!
I liked it when it was called erasure.
Well, this guy does different styles. Some of it's rock and roll. Some of it's a little...
He apes different styles.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. LCD sound system from their record. Go get it. It's good. If you like to dance, like we do. We love to dance.
I'm a dancing freaking machine.
But we opened with the wedding stuff because that was one of the reasons I was out of town and we didn't do shows. Is my brother was getting married down in Atlanta, Georgia, and we were down there. I was down there. Yeah. If you should have came down as my date and we could have done a show from Atlanta.
Oh, for God's sake.
I didn't have a date.
Yeah. You didn't have a date to the other wedding.
We went to a wedding even the week before that, and then I didn't have a date.
That is the number one reason to have a girlfriend. I mean, other than the sex and stuff, is to have someone to actually. You know what? More than the sex, frankly,
it's to take
because so much... if you're with a girl for long enough, the sex starts getting lame anyway. But the number one reason to have a girlfriend is that you don't have to go to a wedding by yourself like a schnook, and sit there, and Aunt Myrtle's going to hook you up with her niece.
Well,
you know, that's the
worst. I would have banged Aunt Myrtle's niece at the Bouchard wedding.
I would have banged Aunt Myrtle at that wedding. It was so dull. We went to a dull wedding.
So, Bill, this was 2 weeks ago. So, first of all, we're just giving you a little agenda here. We did go. Yeah. I attended two weddings in the time we were away. Corey attended one, the Bill Bouchard wedding. Bill was our guest on show 8, I believe it was. Yes. What was it? The show 12, Roasted and
12,
Baked. We talked about his bachelor party.
I didn't even remember
7.
That show at all.
Baked, yeah. So Bill got married, and we went to his wedding, and then we had a little time off, and then I went to my wedding, my brother's wedding, down in Atlanta, and Star Wars came out. Maybe we'll fit some Star Wars in.
It's been a whole world.
It's been a lot. The world has changed.
It really has.
Since we were last with you, but
there's
it's good
a
to
new
be back.
Pope?
No, it's been a new pope.
Oh, wait, that's been a while.
Oh, did Ratzinger die?
God, that guy should die any second.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's on fumes.
About the Pope. So let's talk about the...
Oh, you know what? There was a big important death, almost as important as the Pontiff.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Frank Gorshin. Passed away. That's such a shed.
Not in our death pool. We did a death pool show.
About 5 years ago, I saw Frank Gorshin at a Comic-Con, just sitting alone in a corner, dejected. Like, it was him and Major West from Lost in Space, sitting around in the corner, like two old farts sitting there. Sipping on a coffee and eating cinnamon buns, and all these dorks are running around hitting each other with lightsabers, and none of them wanted to talk to Frank Gorshin.
Wow.
I felt a little sad.
They missed out on that then, didn't they?
It's amazing. Like, Comic-Con's now just every... If you were, like, the third lead on, you know, Journey to the Bottom of the Sea or whatever, any Irwin Allen show or any crap sci-fi show in the history of television, you can get on... I think the midget that was inside the dog on Battlestar Galactica, the Daggett...
He's
or was that? That was actually a chimp that was in that thing. That was amazing.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, you get a whole career sitting there. I saw Harlan Ellison at a comic convention. I'm like, wow, dude, that's got to suck for you. But
yeah, so Frank Gorshin dead.
The late great Frank.
Nobody knows who you are, but we're sorry.
Alone and unloved.
Yes, Frank Gorshin. And so let's talk about the Bouchard wedding because Bill. People know Bill from the show. They listen. Yeah. He said he was 10 days away from marriage when we did our show. When we did our show and got baked with us.
Yeah.
And he had a wedding, and, well,
much like Bill himself, the wedding was very tapioca. It was bland and flavorless.
It was fine.
It was substantial.
It wasn't bad.
No, it was okay.
Is that a nice place?
Well, here was the weird thing. It's that his wife is a few years younger than him. So, like, you know, her side of the family is a little more youthful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her sisters are still a couple of whores. And I know, I'm just kidding. Just one of them.
Oy.
And Nettie, I love you. But, yeah, you know, and but his family, like, he's one of, what, 10 brothers?
He's one of 7 kids, and they were all married before him.
Yeah, and they're all
and
older.
He's 40.
He's one of the young ones, and he's 40.
Yeah, and so they're all sort of older, and they all had kids, and it was almost like a kid wedding. It wasn't really,
yeah,
like,
there were all these kids running around. Yeah.
And there were comics there. I mean, there was a smattering, yeah, of comics.
That's what it was. It was old people and comedians.
And comedians, yeah, and comedians.
Which go together so well.
Yeah. But our buddy Sal was there, Sal D'Amelio. We hung out with Sal.
Sal will be on the show at some point.
Sal and his girlfriend, who, boy, I got to tell you. That's, yeah, good work, Sal. I think, yeah, I think
you're a big fan of
I'm
that.
A big fan. You're giving like a golf clap.
Yeah.
I'm giving a full round of applause.
I'll give polite applause.
A full, really?
I mean.
She's kind of like an Italian chick. And you're,
well,
not
first
really
of all, it's Sal's. You never rub another man's rhubarb. So I'm not going to get not gonna get too enthusiastic about Sal's,
okay,
piece of work there. But She's nice enough.
But let's be honest about Sal, if we can, and we'll talk certain time. Sure. We've seen what Sal's been, yeah,
exactly,
with. And boy, for him, that's
woo.
And I take it too.
You know what? On second thought, I'm going to give that.
Yeah,
right,
see,
right.
Now the proper applause comes in for Sal's girlfriend.
Some of the gutter skanks he's pulled off, oh, of Adult Friend Finder. Are you kidding me? That girl's top of the shelf, baby.
Well, let's hope she actually has listened to the show too. I know.
Oh, has she? Well, no, I didn't say anything bad.
No, but now you're just outing Sal's Adult Friend Finder.
Oh well. She's not. She's a nice girl.
She's
I don't
a nice. She's
anymore.
Young. She's like 25. Sal's 37, 38. Well,
now the emails are going to start flying. Now the hate-filled emails.
There's our friend Sal. That now we're insulting him.
Forget
about our enemies, the people we hate that were at the wedding.
Yeah, literally, Sal's one of the nicest guys.
He's
I've
one
ever
of the nicest
met.
Guys. We're dumping on him.
He gives me work all the time. Takes me along with him to gigs and stuff. And like we, you know, we work together a lot. Yeah, and I'm dumping on him.
That's, no, I love Sal, and his girlfriend was fun at the wedding after you left.
See, I guess the fun all started after we left.
Well, can I just say this, and you know I love you, but it was kind of a dick move you at the wedding, I'll be honest, the whole thing with you.
Oh, show what?
You show up late, and it was like, the food was already like being, the main course was being served.
I thought that was perfect
as you're sitting, but it was awkward. Because, you know, people are, like, asking me, where's Corey, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't fucking know.
We were there for, like, 2.5 hours. It wasn't
I know, but you skipped the ceremony. Which, granted, the ceremony was in Ann Arbor on a Friday at 5 o'clock. It was impossible to get to.
It was pissing down rain.
It was.
And, like, the freeway was jammed up.
No, I understand that.
It took us longer to get out there than we thought it would.
But then, you know, people were sitting around, and people didn't know where to sit. They had assigned people, like, to weird tables, like, with relatives that people didn't know.
Oh, I thought the tables were already assigned.
You were at your assigned table, but I think, like, Sabelle wasn't.
Oh.
So should we just kind of grabbed her and threw her at her table? And...
Well, she was the photographer. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, she was sitting with aunts and uncles, and we're like, well, don't sit with them, sit with us.
Well, that's not my fault.
I understand that.
I
but
didn't
it
plan
awkward.
The goddamn thing.
It got awkward because people like Brent Sullivan and his date were going to sit where you were supposed to sit because we were trying to make these tables fun.
Oh, I gotcha.
And then you're not there.
But I told you
and
I was
like, I know that, and I said he should be on his way, and then you were just not there. And then you leave then you leave early, and it was a dick move. That's all.
Well, I called you from the road, though.
I understand that.
Yeah, but I brought a date. So
I know you brought a
that
date.
That was not my call, really. I
well, let me
longer.
Just explain this, though. People, if you wonder why people think you're a dick, stuff like that might be a reason. And not that it was the biggest deal in the world. Don't get me wrong.
What did I do?
It was a bit of a dicky move.
Oh, no. I should have spent 7 hours at that wedding.
In hell at the wedding. No, look. I agree with you on everything but the perception of the way it looked for you.
Oh, yeah. Frank G is an ace. I mean, you know what I mean? Like there were
it's okay.
There were guys that came and showed up and were in the back, and you never really... I didn't even realize some of these people were at that wedding.
No, no, because
they didn't come and talk to anybody, and, like, we were sitting
Daryl
right up...
Daryl, I'm Italian, hey.
We were sitting right up front.
We were sitting right by the bride and groom.
We went up and talked to Bill and kept dropping jokes in his ear all night. And,
well, here's the thing, though, and this might have been why you left, because I noticed this at the wedding, too. It wasn't just you, but guys who brought dates that weren't in the circle, sort of the comedian...
Right.
The dates were like, yeah, we gotta go.
They were all bored.
The dates, no, and your date was too. And
Well, Shane was bored, and it was like, I don't know, because you know what? No, it wasn't picking up. It wasn't like
The dance. Well,
most weddings you go to, if there's a certain amount of single people, or there's a certain amount of young people that are couples,
yeah,
like the dancing starts and people start getting a little crazy. They didn't do the whole thing with the garter belt.
No, they didn't. They didn't throw the bouquet.
Because it was like everybody brought their freaking kids. It was all these rotten little nasty ankle-biting toddlers running around. Now, I understand that's the real purpose of a wedding, is that people get married so that they can legitimately, under the eyes of God and in the law, infest the womb with some seed and plop out some of these miserable little rugrats. But, it doesn't make for a fun wedding.
No, it wasn't. And the other thing they did, too, that sucked was, well, there's a couple reasons. There was the kids.
Right.
Okay. And then it was sort of that there was this... I was very family heavy as opposed to friend, which is fine. It was their way. Sure. And it was a great wedding for them. I mean, no.
It was a lovely wedding. It was a nice place. I'm not bashing on the wedding.
It wasn't a great party. It was just a good wedding. It was not a great party. And then they closed the bar during dinner, which is sort of a common thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wasn't drunk.
Right.
And no one else was. And so it was hard to get.
Yeah. Also, the thing's far away from my house. So I didn't want to get tanked up for this wedding.
I'm having a toffee thing.
And drive home, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that sucked was
it was not all my doing, though. She was leaning on me to get out of there.
Jerry McAvoy's date was like that, too.
Yeah.
Our buddy Jerry, who listens to the show. I love Jerry. Came in from Chicago, brought his date. He met his date on the internet.
Oh, good times.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
What did you see? And Jerry's a great guy. We love Jerry. Jerry's an older guy.
Yeah.
Older than us, I mean.
For his age, he's doing well.
And what did you say? Who did she look like? That was famous?
Kind of looked like Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, or did you say? Yeah, Helen Mirren. That's good, though.
Yeah,
Helen
Mirren's all right. Wrong with that
She's
at
cute.
All. No,
She's good for Jerry.
Okay, yeah.
Nice girl.
Maybe a little Joan Allen under there, too, a little bit. Something like, you know.
Yeah.
Matronly, I believe is the term.
Matronly?
For it. Yeah,
oh,
but that's nice.
Not Kate, but Kate Blanchett.
Not Kate Blanchett. Not Kate Blanchett. Anyway, at all. No.
Okay, then Helen Mirren, but not Kate Blanchett.
No.
Not Miranda Richardson at all.
We're naming a lot of character actresses in their 40s and 50s, but
yeah.
No, Helen Mirren, I'm sticking with that. But yeah, you know, it was fine. She was cool. Whatever. Got it.
But she was giving Jerry the bums rush, too. A little bit.
Oh, she was pulling him out the door.
Yeah.
You know what? I was not the only one who left at that time. A lot of people left at the same time we left.
Yeah, I know, but then I was on the dance floor in a sandwich between, you know, Laura Lou and Sal's girlfriend, which was good time.
Well, good for you. More,
you know, but then again, you had a date.
You flew stag, dude. Yeah, you came solo.
I told people, I was like, you know, should I get a date? Because I actually remember I had that girl. I had a girl that wanted to go to the wedding with me, actually. I don't know whether you did or not. And she really isn't like my date. She isn't like my girlfriend. And I was sort of like, well, I don't want to bring her to the date.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to the wedding, because it just could be awkward. And then I was talking, again, Sal, and Sal's like, you don't bring sand to the beach.
Well,
meanwhile, I go to the beach, and there's no friggin' sand. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There's no women there. There's no single girls.
Hey, believe me, I brought Shane because she's my emergency girlfriend. She's good for stuff like that.
Well, it's fine.
You know, family events, things like that. She's good to call up and bring along. Yeah, because then I get called. She drags me up to, like, Bay City to pick up furniture.
Yeah, well,
I had to spend like 3 hours in an antique store in Bay City because she bought furniture up there. I had to go up there and like, oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, that's what you need. That's why
if you're ever patrolling the area between the thumb and the starts to be northern Michigan, yeah, let me tell you, don't ever go to Frankenmuth. That's an important place to avoid.
Did you go to Frankenmuth?
Yeah, we went to Frankenmuth.
Did you have something to eat up there? Did you have the chicken?
Yeah, we did, but we were going to go do the whole... We, like, drove around forever. We got lost.
You know what? You are married. If you're going to eat at Frankenmuth...
I know! It's ridiculous.
Going to get goddamn furniture in Bay City, you're whipped.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
But if there had been hotter chicks at that wedding, I would have left it. If I knew... But we're not married or anything like that.
No, and that's
so
fine.
So it's like, you know, if there had been... If there had been, if I knew there was going to be Tuki at that wedding, oh, she would have never known about it. Would have never called her about that wedding at all. But she was very generous to come up and go.
Yeah,
to
she came. I mean, it was fine. It was just, it was
you know,
a little
dude,
bit of a...
The earth unleashed its fury upon us on our way up there. It was like just buckets of rain.
I understand
rain
that. It was not
there. We would have been there before, you know, you're right. We got there and like about 2 minutes later, the food came out.
Yeah.
Which that's perfect. I don't know.
You're
calling me
a fat guy like
you're calling me a dick, but I got in there, ate, got out. It was a beautiful thing.
I know, and you came off as a bit of a tool.
But I don't think the couple had any problem with me.
I know, but then I ran out and bought a gift, and then I bought the gift.
Yeah,
and
but well, you thank you for going out and buying
I
the
did
gift.
Buy a gift
but that
from
was,
you.
But it wasn't like I didn't give you money for it.
No, but it was... You're not seeing it. And it's not the end of the world.
What was I supposed
just,
to do?
I came
to the wedding. I was there. We gave him a present.
You ate the food, you drank the wine, you got the fuck out.
Yeah, as everybody who does at a wedding.
Not everybody that
you
does.
You and your swearing. By the way, I try so hard to keep these tapes clean, and here you are dropping F-bombs.
What did I just say?
You just swore.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Maybe should we... I don't remember that.
You just kill this show.
Did I say F? Did I say
yes, you
fuck?
Did. You said fuck.
God damn it.
What is this, Dead? It's going to be starting to turn into
some
Deadwood.
Bitch. Deadwood.
I love that show, Deadwood. That's great.
Deadwood. And stop talking about Jerry McAvoy.
Oh hey,
no, we just did it. We love you,
that's
Jerry.
That's Connie Ettinger's the Deadwood.
Oh.
But what are you doing with your mic?
I don't know. Because I need a boom because I have to lean in if I don't. Yeah. If I sit back and the mic's not hot, I don't know.
But yeah.
But the other thing about the wedding, and one of the reasons it wasn't fun was that they did, and this is a guy, another guy, friend of mine, Mike Malik. Mike sort of was, what do you call him, the host at that wedding?
He was the MC.
MC. Which I don't know why they need to.
You know, you gotta have
and Mike was sort of brought his PA that he sends mm-hmm. out to his one-nighter comedy gigs that Mike sets up.
Yeah.
And his son, the roadie, who was who was the DJ, quote-unquote, for the
yeah,
night.
The kid pushed one button.
Yeah,
what
it was
DJ
real dull. It was really not fun. And, boy, his mix, you know, he'd play like a song that people would want to dance to. Like, he'd play some, right. like, you know, he'd play like Brick House or something. People would start dancing. And then he'd immediately go into, like, some big band thing from the 40s, you know, that just, like, there was
Joel,
no consistency.
No, see, no, I talked to the Susie. I talked to the bride.
You talked to the bride?
They picked those songs.
But did they pick them in that order?
Yeah.
I mean,
she burnt
well,
that was her.
Oh, well,
she
you know,
burnt that CD.
Let
like
me
that.
Tell you. Get a professional. I'm not, I don't say
well,
that
you're
wedding.
Saying, you're saying you need this for a rockin' good part wedding? You need,
what's... Well, yeah, this
you
is
need
what,
a little bit of action like
this. Yeah, well, this is yeah. Well, this would have worked. They didn't play this. My brother had this at his wedding. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah. Grandma's loving it.
And this was good because we were in Atlanta at my brother's wedding, even though there was no black people at the wedding. Actually, the help was black. The people serving the food were black, but there were no black people invited. I asked him about that. I go, why are no black people invited? So, yeah, when we did the choo-choo train at my brother's wedding, it was like...
We thought there weren't any black people at that wedding until I saw Frank G was there.
He's Italian, though, too. So.
Frank claims to be Sicilian.
Yeah. He's Puerto Rican and Sicilian. But we were doing the choo-choo train at my brother's wedding, and it was like... Imagine 15 white people with tambourines doing the choo-choo. Yeah, it was... Yeah.
Now, this would have been a rockin' wedding if they were playing this. You know, girls start lifting up the skirts a little bit, and the booties come out, and...
And guys get behind them and start smacking the ass, and it was like, yeah.
No, instead it was daddy-daughter dance.
Well, even at my brother's wedding, I was in the choo-choo train with, like, you know, my cousins and stuff, and my aunts and uncles.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever really, you know, they always talk about weddings are a great place to meet chicks.
I never.
There's this movie coming out with Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
You love this song?
I love this rap, and this guy... Woo!
Woo!
So the movie is coming out about
this
a wedding.
Movie coming
right?
out called The Wedding Crashers. I can't take it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Neither.
neither can our audience.
Neither can America. Yeah,
can
exactly.
Anybody who's listening to this, okay. If there are anybody.
It was a massive hit, by the way.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Oh
in
God,
a...
I worked at a bagel deli in that summer of '96.
Was that when that came out?
Yeah.
Wasn't '96 the Macarena? '96 was the Macarena, because I was in New York City when the Macarena came out.
Goddamn
I heard
right
the Macarena
the
for the first time in New York City, but go ahead.
One time we should do a show that's just the hits of '96, because like I worked at this bagel deli, and the boss just like broke the knob on the, literally I think he taped the knob shut on the radio.
Yeah.
And we had like one channel we could listen to.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Like a top 40 station
like
that was
the,
playing?
The other place had the satellite radio where you could just pick the channels.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
This, for some reason, he was too cheap to spring for it for his other location, which I got stuck working that summer. And, like, I had to listen to the Hot Hits channel, and it was, like, the Macarena, that song, Quad City DJs. There's some song about, last night I dreamed of you. It was, if your game is strong, give me a call, boo.
Yeah, I don't even remember know what that song. Is. No.
That was great. I heard that. I heard "You Oughta Know" by Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, okay.
Or sometimes "Ironic."
Yeah,
they'd break. They'd mix up the playlist a little bit, and then you'd hear "Don't Speak" by
No Doubt.
No Doubt.
Okay,
it was like the same songs all day,
yeah.
And that was just you'd be crying inside.
Well, some of those songs you could see, but the Choo Choo Train.
I know. I would literally hear that song.
But it was like a huge hit.
If I came in at 6 or 7 a.m. to open the store, I would hear that song 4 times during the day.
You know, somewhere, you know, they must have sold copies of that, or like there was an album. And what junk drawers all over America are full of that? Like,
but that's how rap works, though. That's how hip hop works.
I guess so.
Like, hip hop has more one hit wonders than any other music form.
Yeah,
because they
Quad City DJs. We don't know.
Oh yeah.
What quad? Is that the quad? Is that like Moline, Illinois Quad Cities? Because you don't think a lot of brothers are hanging out over in Davenport, Iowa, in the quads. You know, those are the Quad Cities.
Is that the Quad Cities?
What are the quad? You know what the Quad Cities are?
You've probably played them all.
I've driven through the Quad Cities in my
time. Yeah, no, you're right. It's somewhere in Iowa.
It's Davenport and Moline, and then the other ones, I don't know.
Are those even cities?
Rock Island, and nah, I don't know.
Does Moline count as a city?
If you go to the Quad Cities, you drive, and the Mississippi cuts right down the middle. Yeah,
you're banging your mic.
I know, because I can't. I bend it in. I'm sorry,
but
I suck.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's all right, baby.
So I didn't have a date at the wedding, and then it was like, you know, I don't have a date. Then they weren't really playing good music, so I'm there just doing shots with guys and their girlfriends, going, I got to get out of here. My brother's wedding was a little more fun. I was the best man at my brother's wedding, which was interesting. I'd never done that before.
I've been to 10 million weddings, and I've never been in a wedding.
Never stood up. Yeah.
Well, when I was little,
when you were a little kid, you were a ring bearer, crap like that. Yeah. It's weird being the best man, because it's like people look to you as for like something. And like I had to present the ring at the ceremony.
You're like the first mate on the ship.
Yeah, I'm like I'm Gilligan to the skipper or something in there. And, you know, and then it was like...
you're the fattest Gilligan.
Yeah, I know.
That'd be great if the skipper and Gilligan were both fat.
My brother's not that fat.
No, your brother's
less... I don't know.
Your brother seems...
As my brother gets older, I'm becoming the skinny one, which is nice.
Well, that is... You know what's the one good thing about being chubby, like, your whole life?
What's that?
Because other people get fat.
You're like, hey, look at you.
Yeah, like, my high school reunion, I went to that and, like... Dudes got way fat who had been in shape. And and they were like, Corey, you don't look really much different. I'm like, no, I don't, really.
Yeah, it's like you're holding it together. Meanwhile, you're a complete mess, but you always were.
Yeah.
And then the guys that were skinny have really fallen.
I had a skinny summer. It was that summer I worked at the Bagel Deli. I dropped down. That was the skinniest I was. I had a brief shining moment. Like the train.
The choo-choo. That's the choo-choo. Come on, Corey.
Is that the choo-choo train?
Come on, let's hear the choo-choo train. It's actually coming through our open window in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
It's the choo-choo train. Come on, ride that train. And right now it's coming through. It's coming through the headphones and the window, and it's...
I don't think people can hear it. We can hear it in our
headphones. We can hear it in our headphones, but maybe people don't hear it. It's the choo-choo train.
What?
Oh, I was in a tuxedo. We gotta put me in a tuxedo up on the website for this show. CoreyandJoelRadio.com.
You didn't wear the bow tie, though. That
no, well, they got us tuxedos with the regular sort of tie. And getting a tuxedo is a really awful proposition. Anyone that's ever, like, had to get a tuxedo for an event, it's really awful. It's not fun at all.
Yeah, no, I know.
And this time, we had to, like, get our tuxes fitted in Michigan, and then we were flying down. We were going to pick them up at another store in Atlanta, and this jerk off in Michigan at should I say the name of the store? It rhymes with I'm not going to say because I don't want to get sued. Mm-hmm. It rhymes with After Flowers, formal wear, but it's After Hours. All right, they suck. And but I don't know where you get a tux nowadays without them, so fuck them.
Are you going to go to Mr. Tuxedo or...
Mr. Tuxedo. I've never heard of Mr. Tuxedo.
I don't know.
No, so I went, and the guy, you know, he measures you, and then you get there. And in my case, I had to go down to Atlanta. It's like the day before the wedding. And the goddamn thing, the pants are falling off me. like the sleeves are too long. I'm like, what did this guy do?
There's cummerbund, which is sort of like Cinnabon.
There wasn't a cummerbund. There was a vest, but the vest was losing a button.
Yeah.
Then the jacket button lost the button like 10 minutes before we were leaving for the wedding. I had to put that on with the safety pin. It was all this crap. And they tell you, you know, oh, you're getting a, it was a Tommy Hilfiger tux that we rented. It was $150, whatever it is to rent the stupid thing. Tommy Hilfiger tux. And the thing is made out of like polyester. Like my uniform when I worked at the AMC theater as an usher.
It must have breathed.
Phony
must,
tuxedo shirt. Was every bit as good of quality as this Tommy Hilfiger
tux.
It must
really breathe in the Atlanta heat.
Yeah, in the Atlanta.
Must really be one of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a toffee.
Yeah, go ahead. Have a toffee fabric. It's too good for kids. Enjoy one. And so I get this. And it's just horrible situation. The shoes are uncomfortable. And it's like, so I'm like yelling at this old lady. I'm like, you know, these don't fit. The pants don't fit. They don't give you a belt with the pants. There's like a little buckle on the side. There's two little buckles on the side. You have to pull them and tighten them. And it's like I couldn't get a good fit in the pants. Like my pants would stay up, and then I put my car keys in them, and then they're, you know, then they're down on my ankles.
You know, when guys like us walk into a tuxedo shop, you know, they're just like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Call the tailor. We got to make some alterations.
But everybody does. I mean, my dad's a little short guy. I mean, I'm in there, and I don't know. Just getting the tux sucked. It was just not fun.
You can get that cummerbund wrapped around my gut. It's tighter than, like, you know, a high-tension wire.
Yeah,
the Wallendas could do a number. They could walk across it.
You're going to bust that thing and take someone's eye out at the wedding. No, there was no cummerbund. It was a straight tie and a vest. We'll put a picture on CoreyandJoelRadio.com. You guys can go look that up. And
we didn't get any pictures from Bill's wedding, did we?
I have some pictures of the ceremony.
You brought
your camera. I have a couple. I picture a Sal. You want to put up a picture of Sal?
You bring your camera everywhere, like including movie screenings.
Yeah, we were going to Hitchhiker's Guide, and I leave the camera. And then, so my brother's wedding was a little more fun.
Supposed to go see freaking Adam Sandler.
Longest Yard?
Longest Yard tonight.
Yeah. What time is that?
7:30.
Are you going to make it?
I think so.
Oh, well, good for you.
If we wrap this thing up, yeah.
Oh, no, this is a four-hour podcast today.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a...
So anyways, I'm the best man at my brother's wedding, and then, like, you have a rehearsal dinner. You have to go to rehearsal, and the rehearsal is basically, like, where they show you where to walk. You know, they say, well, here's the chairs are going to be set up this way, and the best man and maid of honor come down this way, and then you turn right, and then you have to face this way. You have to hold your left hand over your right hand while you're standing there, because for some reason people are going to be looking at you. There's a goddamn bride and groom everyone knows, but people are going to be looking at my fat ass who nobody knows standing there, so I got to stand the right way. It's just a bunch of crap like that. It's a lot of boring crap. And of course, my brother's groomsmen, they're like my like one of them's like his work buddy, another one's like one of his college buddies, Michigan State guys.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are just like the perviest tools you ever met, you know. I mean, like, good guys, but it was like, you know, at a thing like that, we're just, you know, they're doing the rehearsal, and it's like, they're just elbowing each other, going, yeah, would you look at the maid of honor's tits? Would you look at those things? And it's like, what a rehearsal. These guys are They were nice tits, by the way, but...
you'd expect a thing in a wedding full of comedians, but this was your brother.
Yeah, this is my brother's jerky friends, who were like, you know...
And
they drank a six-pack each before the rehearsal dinner.
I went to another comedian's wedding years ago that was pretty funny because they sat me at the, you know, they always, apparently we can't integrate with the regular
people.
Well,
you have a work table or right, in our case, right. If it's a comedian's wedding, you have a comedian's table.
So they put a comedian's table. Yeah. And of course, comics are usually drunk and trying to get drunk or one of the comics was hitting on the bride's mother. No lie, no shit. He was hitting on the bride's mother.
Yeah, I understand.
And then the other guy, this old guy that we used to work with, Dante, this old Italian guy, he's looking at the groom's aunts who are like from Korea, and they're all like they literally flew in from Korea, and they're in these like ceremonial, you know, kimonos,
like,
and
traditional in, like, and he goes, Korean garb.
Look at this, Maron. Look at this one. She's a little China doll. I could break her. And I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, guys are just filthy. They're just nasty.
Yeah, guys are just, and you get a collection of guys, and they start drinking, and then everything's just this, you know. These guys are all married, too. You know, they're older, and they're, you know, they all got kids, and they're all just drinking and getting high, and it's just, you know. They make comedians look like decent folk.
There's one more wedding I have to go to tonight.
What's that?
Rob and Amber's wedding.
Oh, the Rob and Amber wedding.
That's right.
So... My brother's wife, so we did the rehearsal dinner, so you have to do that. Then you have to have a dinner. We were at, like, the Four Seasons in Atlanta, mm-hmm. which, you know, the Four Seasons swanky place, you know, we had like a, you know, we had like a reception at the little bar area, and then we went into a big dining hall.
I stay at the Four Seasons in Los Angeles.
Yes, when the movie company is fitting the bill, you can actually afford the Four Seasons.
I think that might be over. I switched jobs. I don't know if I'm going
to
get those gigs.
Good for you, because you don't need to be a fucking whore. A junket whore, yeah.
You do. Are you kidding me? I stay in a four-star hotel.
So I'm at the Four Seasons, and I'm taking pictures of just whoever's there having drinks and whatever. And I go out into the lobby, and there's like, it's a nice lobby at the Four Seasons, like all ornate, big chandelier. So I'm taking pictures of the lobby, and this guy comes over. I mean, it's a black guy, and I don't want to, you know. It had nothing to do with the fact, it was just a black guy, just so you get in your picture in your head who this guy was. He was dressed in kind of a nice shirt and tie, whatever. Yeah. And I'm just taking pictures of the lobby. He's like, you're taking our pictures. I'm like, no, I'm not taking your picture. And I literally wasn't. There was some guys sitting having dinner or whatever in the lobby. And I was like, no, I'm not. You know, it's like upstairs in the lobby. You can look down. It's like a courtyard. And I'm like, no, I'm not taking your picture. And he goes, well, let me see your picture you took. And I'm like, no, you're not going to see my goddamn picture. Leave me alone. So I guess this was like, might have been like Bobby Brown or something was in there.
You were taking pictures 50 of the wedding.
No, I just thought there was some celebrity, some hip-hop guy sitting there having a, you know, maybe got some booty call over there at the Four Seasons, and I was taking a picture of it. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Right. That's what I'm there. I'm there for my brother's friggin' wedding rehearsal dinner, and I got this guy busting my chops. F you,
well,
whoever
you, know,
you are.
When I look at you, I don't really see photography. I don't see paparazzi.
Yeah, you do. I look like a guy.
Maybe. I don't know. Those guys are kind of...
It was like a little... It was like my sister-in-law's digital camera. It was a tiny little Sony.
When I look at you, I think this.
What do you think?
Never mind.
Don't even cue anything up. That's good. Never good mind. Job. Glad to see you've been sharpening up on your skills of playing these sound samples.
This is what I see.
Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
That's what he said to me, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, that happened, and they're just weird. Atlanta, can I anything else my brother's
Atlanta
writing?
Sucks. Is that what you're saying? Start your Atlanta sucks rant now.
All right. You know what? Okay. I was going to say take us to the break.
I largely have no use for the South.
Let me talk about my brother's wedding, and then we'll do the Atlanta stuff after the break. My brother's wedding, very nice. It was outdoors, and they had this they didn't have the wedding planner, which was a good thing, because when we were picking up the tuxes, there was some wedding party in there, and they had the party planner, who's like some big fag, and you got to see these. It's every stereotype you've ever seen about, you know.
What do you mean? There's stereotypes about wedding planners being homosexuals?
They're big, giant,
what are you implying?
Homos, and they're taking fabrics, you know, swatches, and they're comparing the color of the flowers to the bridesmaids' dresses, and it's just ridiculous. So we thankfully didn't have to deal with that, but the photographer was this just raging, out-of-control guy who was like...
Yeah.
I've never, like, this photo shoot was, like, the most intense thing I've ever done in my entire life. It was physically mm-hmm. exhausting, these stupid wedding pictures I had to take. Because he's like, okay, now I need you to turn around and wink at the camera. And I'm like, no, literally, Corey, I was doing these shots, like, I was, like, doing,
you
like
doing a Vogue cover shoot?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, these shots, and it was just like, and I don't really take direction well, being sort of in show business and sort of being a creative person. I said sort of in show business.
What are you, Kathy Ireland all of a sudden?
No, but I'm like,
I will not do that.
But I don't want to look like a tool in these.
I'm not
going to
stand
pictures.
By the cake. That's tacky.
It wasn't even stand by the cake. It was like I had to go stand on a hill, but I had to stand 10 paces behind the groomsmen. And then there was like it was unbelievable. These pictures, the guy was all like, here's another thing I want to do. I had to get my brother. Okay. We did the wedding. We had the cake, we had eaten. And I said, all I want to do is get my brother and the groomsmen for a shot. That's like a typical thing you do at a wedding. You go to the bar, you get a shot. So I go over there to get a shot, and the photographer gets wise to the fact that we're going to do a shot. Okay, well, you know, I just want to get the shot and do the shot right at the bar, and that's it, and it's a shot. We're commemorating my brother's wedding. Good luck to you. Okay. Can't even do that. Now we got to move to another table to do the shot. We have to clear the table of all other glasses because those would be distraction in a picture. Yeah. I got to put down my beer because no one wants to see that because we're doing a shot. You just want to do a shot. It takes 20 minutes to set up for a stupid
picture.
There's
a lot of weird stuff that happens at weddings. You know, my old roommate got married this weekend. Everybody's getting married.
Yeah.
And I didn't go. I didn't get invited. There were several people that didn't get invited.
Did you feel bad? Did you feel like
It was sort of weird. I was friends with this guy for years. Uh-huh. And it was sort of weird.
I think he heard that you just show up and leave. And I heard
him. Oh, you know, you're just jealous. Because you didn't want to be at that boring wedding for 6 hours.
Well, you know, I did the right thing. You did not. But maybe you're better off for it.
I think you're the only one who cared. But Honestly, you're the only one.
All right, so what happened at your friend's wedding?
No, yeah, so my old
that you didn't go to.
My former roommate's wedding. And I've been getting reports from, you know, friends that did go.
Sure.
And he's Filipino, and they said, like, his parents were all out of whack. His parents were, like, you know, from the Philippines. He was born here, but, like, or grew up here. They were all out of whack because he didn't follow some of the rituals.
Oh, the Filipino.
They were like, you know, there were certain, like, they, you know, you had to kill a goat and drink its blood or something. Literally, one of the things he didn't do, and his parents were mad, and they were like, the wedding doesn't count because you didn't do this. He's supposed to go throw a spear at her door. And if the spear doesn't stick in the door, you're not man enough to get married.
What door is going to take a spear?
And I'm like, first of all, most doors have screens in America. So it's going to it might bounce off the screen.
Glass or
whatever. Break the glass in the storm door.
The security system is going to set that up.
I was like, yeah, but he lived with her before they got married. So he'd be throwing a spear at his own door. Then he's got to go and repair the door.
Right. He's got a security deposit. That's, he's throwing a spear at his own door.
Literally, though, his dad was out of shape. It was out of joint because he didn't go throw a spear at her door.
And this isn't even like a Filipino girl he was marrying, was it?
No.
Yeah, so this is like two white girls, and they got a Filipino guy throwing a spear at the door.
The parents are increasingly distressed, though, that none of their children are going to marry Asians at all.
Well,
they would be happy with a Cambodian at this point, I think. Just, you know, like, not even a Filipino, just somebody close, somebody
something
in the Pacific Rim. But something. No, they're just going to all marry white people. And
yellow skin, slanted eyes, something somewhere in the region.
But instead, they got to go slay a pig and throw a spear. I was like, it was the funniest thing I ever heard. I was like, you're kidding.
Oh, man.
So
weddings
are stupid. And Joel, that's why Joel and I are just going to the Justice of the Peace and having our commitment ceremony.
You and I, we're going to do that on the next show.
Well. After Bush is out of office and it's finally legal.
It's for almost to marry you and I.
Well, to have our heterosexual commitment ceremony. God, I think people, you know what? That's another reason I brought a date to Bill's wedding.
Why? Because you want to seem gay?
No, yeah, exactly.
You don't want to seem gay.
No, it's like you and I hang out so much that people are like,
think we're homo lovers?
Yeah, they think we're a couple or some crap. So I had to make a big show.
Well, now everyone's like, Joel's mad because Corey brought a girl.
Oh, yeah.
They're having a spot.
Oh, they're having a tiff. Was that? Oh, God.
I don't know. That's entirely possible.
I guess let's go to a break. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, can I? Yeah, okay. I'm going to talk about the wedding toast. I had to give a wedding toast. Those are always fun. I did one at Bill's wedding. I did sort of a dry run, and then I did one of my brother's, and that was awkward. Well,
everybody thought they were a comedian at that one.
Yeah, I know. So let's do a break. Play a little more LCD Sound System. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about why we hate Atlanta. We did that on the last show. We sort of briefly mentioned it, but we're going to really get to it now. So here's more LCD Sound System.
Enjoy.
And we'll be back in a minute.
You got to set up.
All right. I had to fade that out there.
Welcome back to the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Didn't play the whole tune, but you can get that on the LCD sound system CD. Great song.
It's a long one.
Good song, though. Mm-hmm. Daft Punk is playing in my house.
Mm-hmm. That's better than Daft Punk.
Yeah. Daft Punk is playing in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So we were at the wedding, the Atlanta wedding, setting the scene. As the best man, I was in a tuxedo. I got drunk, too, which, you know, and not super drunk.
Yeah.
I wasn't drunk when I did the toast, but I got drunk after that. But the toast is always tricky.
Yeah.
Because you can go read a toast. Like, Sal had given a toast at the Bill Bichard wedding. And he's like, hey, man, all I did is I went on weddingtoast.com and got a line. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a great. And Sal had this nice line that he used. This is Sal's line at the wedding that he used. He did it like a legitimate thing where he wrote it. And then he said at the end, he had his last line sort of before he raised your drink. He said, I'm trying to remember. He's like, may your best days of the past be your worst days of the future.
Oh.
So that was the thing. And that's what he stole off.
Keep your feet on the ground.
Keep raging for the thing.
He does Casey Kasem, which I don't. But.
Coming in at number one. Bill Bichard.
Can you play Stuck on You? He does a joke about Siamese twins. And, you
know. Yeah. So that he got this line off, and he was like, well, just go ahead and get those lines. And I said, oh, okay, whatever. I'll get the line. And then I went on this weddingtoast.com and all these various sites, mm-hmm. and there was exactly one good line on all those sites. And you know what it was? May your best days of the past be your worst days of the future. So they were all just retarded. Like one of them was like, let's have a drink to beauty. And how about those beautiful bridesmaids?
Yeah.
These, I should read some of these on the show. They were just awful. If you go look up wedding toasts on Google, you'll read just some of the most tackiest crap you've ever heard in your entire life.
Yeah.
Horrible. And then my brother goes,
what the hell is that shit?
It was not good. And that was actually one of Bichard's relatives. There. And then so I was just like, my brother also, he requested that I not do a funny toast.
Oh.
He goes, yeah, Joel, I know you're a comedian, but don't do a funny toast. Because that would just be wrong. No one would want, no one's in a laughing mood. It is not
one wants humor.
No one wants levity at a wedding.
Well, what does he think you're gonna do?
I don't know. So I went in and prepared absolutely nothing. Had about 3 or 4 Amstel lights, and I went up there and I was like, you know, it was all right.
3 or 4 Amstel lights.
Yeah, I had a couple Amstel lights before. And,
sure you did.
Yeah, I did. I had a couple Amstel lights. That's what they had at the wedding. I don't know. And, you know, I was like, eh, can I give it a, you know, let's, we want to welcome these people to the family, blah, blah, blah. And then I did my, and I said, I told my brother, and this is the big thing. I did the typical thing. It took a minute or so. Well, first of all, I know when I watched the videotape, I wish I had it. Maybe I'll pull it for a future show because my uncle had taped it. It's a douchey thing. I don't like listening to it, you know, because it. But, like, I took the mic and I was like, hey, it's good to be here tonight. You know, I sort of did, like.
Hey, everybody, just got in.
Yeah, hey.
Great to be here in Atlanta.
I almost did that. I almost did, like, a comic thing. But that was my joke at the end, too, as I got to the end of it. And I did this at Bill's. I gave a little toast and I said,
put your hands together for my brother and his new bride to be.
Give it up for them in the front row.
His new bride, give it up for them. They're a great couple. Hey, tip your waitresses and
bartenders.
That's
what I did at the end. I said, I did that at the Bichard wedding, too.
Love to be here in Atlanta. I'll be here all week, folks.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
I said that's exactly what I said.
See you at the divorce.
See? Yeah. Now you've ruined my whole. But that's okay. You did it. You did it with much more energy than I was gonna. So I have no problem. So I did that at the end, and I got a couple chuckles, and people were coming up to me going, "Oh yeah, that was a good."
Oh,
toast.
So you really did that?
I really said, "Well, I said that at the Bill at the Bichard wedding. I gave a toast at the Bichard wedding."
And you're like,
and said, "Tip the waitstaff." Yeah, it was a little joke. I did say, "I said tip the waitstaff, and I'll be here all week." Typical crap. And Catskill comedy.
Folks,
at its
now
finest.
Now we're gonna throw the bouquet. So if you could keep your table talk down and keep your laughter to a maximum,
please, no heckling.
It's time for comedy night. Oh.
If you have a vibrator, put it on beep. If you have a beeper, put it on vibrate.
It's an inside bit. That's inside.
Hey, don't worry. The guy we're talking about doesn't have audio on his computer. So the fact that we've asked him to listen to the show.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I emailed Steve. I was like, Steve, are you gonna listen to our radio show? I thought, because you know he has all of his you know Norton, you know, sort of get yeah. rich quick. Entertainment schemes, and I'm like, well, we're doing a podcast.
This guy's amazing. We should have him on the show.
Yeah, we will if he
if he ever gets out of Toledo.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's amazing.
Our buddy Steve.
He can't work his computer. He can't, like, the guy runs like a small empire of of one night craft comedy rooms in the Midwest.
Yeah, restaurant and bar. You know, you comedy
put your
clubs.
Like put your microphone up on the foosball table. That's where we're gonna do. The
Pretty
show
much,
from.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
two milk crates and a piece of wood is the stage.
Usually. They're like, Joel, Corey, you gotta do this gig, but can you bring the amp and the microphone and a couple lights?
Can you? Yeah, bring can
it?
You do?
Yeah. Well, it's a.
Do you have any lamps in your living room?
Well, it's at a bar, but the bar is just burned down. So we have a license to use the garage next to. You know, it's like, yeah, this guy runs a small empire of comedy rooms.
It's not in the bowling alley, it's in the chicken coop around back. What the hell is that?
One time I played a bar that was attached to a trailer park. Like, literally, the trailer park abutted the bar that I was in.
Was it like the rec room of the trailer park?
No, it was an actual. It was a bar, but it was like. You know, on the courtyard. It was like just barely off the courtyard of the trailer park. I was like, this is outstanding.
Walking distance for your drunken needs.
Yeah, some kid could have hit a baseball into the window from the trailer park. It was, Steve runs this little empire of crap rooms, and he can't, like, operate his computer.
Yeah. He can't get sound to get our show,
but
just unbelievable.
But yet he's getting like he sends out stress balls with his name on them. You know he's always like
he has to, this is Steve. This is a sticky thing comics do. Steve had a thing. This is I think a good you know comics always sell crap after the shows, and Steve came up with this. Did you know this? He had a ruler made, like a ruler, like something you would measure with, and it was a ruler for guys to give their wives.
Yeah,
and what he did was he took a ruler that was 8 inches long, and he had to have a guy in Taiwan make the special. That what he did is he took an 8-inch piece of plastic and had him mark off 12 inches on an 8-inch ruler, so a guy could measure
his
wife could measure his penis. And if it was like half of the 8 inches, instead of being 4 inches, it would be 6 inches. So basically, it was like it made your penis longer because the ruler was shorter, but yet it looked like a regular. He came up with this idea. He literally had to talk to a guy in a factory,
but he
in
can't
the Far
download
East,
an MP3.
But he can't download our friggin' show and listen to it.
It's
unbelievable. Comics are such losers.
We even put a streaming.
We have a thing. Yeah, you might even listen to it. You go on the show, you click on the little button, and the recent show plays. You can listen to all the shows. You can scroll through the old shows.
Yeah.
Made it very easy for people to get our show because people say, oh, I don't know how to listen.
I'm
going
to get
download.
To it sometime.
I'll get to it. Well, just listen to the stupid show. You know,
this is a guy that like tucks money under his pillow, and he's well. You know why he's running an Apple II? That's why.
Is he really?
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I've heard that from people though, who like my sound doesn't work. I've heard that from more
you
than
can't
one
go get
person.
A sound card.
And I'm like, you know, I build and maintain my own computers. I'm like, you want me to have a look at? Oh no, I don't need that. You know, f you.
That's a lame excuse.
Stupid people. In there.
This is a guy. This is also a guy who had an apartment once in lovely Bowling Green, Ohio. That was literally a modified Quality Inn.
It was like, an old Quality Inn that it became
apartments. They turned them into apartments. They turned old crap hotel rooms where like you'd kill a hooker into apartments. And he and his girlfriend lived in this place that was like all about 200 square feet, the whole place. And he had a pinball machine and a Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah.
In his living room.
That's priorities for him.
It was like you couldn't fart in that room without opening the door, and he had a pinball machine in there.
Yeah.
But yet the guy can't run. But anyway, Steve, we love you. We'll have
we love you.
Love to have you on the show.
That was a tangent.
Yeah.
Because I was talking about the wedding, and I did sticky comedy things. In Atlanta, now they were in, the wedding was in this place called Piedmont Park in Atlanta, which is sort of like the Central Park of Atlanta, and it was really nice. It was like a beautiful place, and It had rained all day, but then when the wedding actually happened, it got real sunny and everything, and it was kind of fun. And but Atlanta itself is a real pain in the ass. Can I be honest? Because it's just not. It's like okay,
I've driven through Atlanta. I've never actually.
Yeah, if you go to Atlanta, like you get a lot of this where it's like every street is named Peachtree. I'm not making that up. Like here's my brother's thing. He said, "Leave my house on 17th Street, drive over this bridge." And you're going to make a left on Peachtree. Yeah. I said, okay, that's easy enough. And he goes, now, don't turn on West Peachtree. That comes just before Peachtree. So there's Peachtree, and then there's West Peachtree.
Yeah.
But you don't want to go on West Peachtree. You want to go on Peachtree, you want to make a left. I said, all right, I'm on Peachtree, make a left. You get up on Peachtree, you make a left. And every street that intersects Peachtree is some other form of Peachtree. It's Peachtree Way. There was like Peachtree Battle. Peachtree Circle, Peachtree East, Peachtree Lane, Old Peachtree. It was unbelievable, the Peachtrees. I don't know why. What did the peach tree do for that city? Everything is peach. And then the streets are, there's no grid system there. Like, say you're heading, you turn left, you want to go north, then the street just bends east, and the next thing you know, you're going a whole other direction, and then there's hills, and it's just it's just horrible.
The south is a different.
The freeways are all weird; they all merge together. And Atlanta's like, here's the thing about Atlanta: it's a nice place, like it's very modern. There's a lot of good stuff, but it's not like I look at any city from the perspective. Of like a starving artist, you know what I mean?
How would it be to live there?
It would suck. You really need money to do well. There's no to have fun in Atlanta. Area. There is, but like it's just not. It's not. It doesn't have character.
Well, that's probably. Didn't they burn it down when it had character?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? They burned down.
But it's one of those
things
where everybody moves. It's almost like the LA of the East in a sense, because everybody's from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or it's like Florida, sort of like that, where everybody's from somewhere else, and there's no one really hasn't. There's not a lot of roots there, and then it's like
You know what though? Warm weather cities tend to suck because they got good weather.
They got good weather. Atlanta does have good weather. It gets real hot in the summer, but it was 80s while I was down there.
I love LA personally, but that's just me, and I know a lot of people complain and bitch about LA.
Yeah,
being soulless and evil and empty, and that's what I like about LA. LA is like very open about its evilness, but yeah, Atlanta seems very pre-manufactured.
Atlanta, but it's nice. I mean, everyone goes there and they're all, this is nice. You get a nice house. The houses are beautiful. My brother's in this like new condo thing. It was great. Fantastic.
Whereas like Savannah or like New Orleans really have like flavor and
But Atlanta it's not. And then the black people. Now listen, I'm not going
to
go.
Most of the growth in Atlanta though has been in the last 30 years, which is why it doesn't seem to have character.
Right, because and then it is. It's all these people getting out of college and moving to Atlanta.
They really only recently rediscovered architecture in America. Like,
they had good architecture in Atlanta.
I know, but like anything built in the 60s or 70s is just boring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, only recently they decided to actually make interesting buildings.
Yeah, my brother's like condo is like this modern art sort of based thing, and it's all this art on the wall, and it's kind of neat. And but the black people, now listen, we're from Detroit.
Here's why Atlanta sucks. Because y'all lost. That's why.
Because the South and the North.
You lost. We whipped your ass.
But let me just say this. There's a ton of black people. I mean, and then I'm just putting down. Look, I'm not even putting anyone down by saying this. Like, in Detroit, there's black people. But you can go to places where there aren't. You can't.
Detroit is so bizarre. It's.
Yeah.
There's all black people in the city.
Yeah.
And no black people anywhere
in the suburbs, except for Southfield, and that's
certain parts of the nearer suburbs.
The nearer suburbs, but Atlanta is just black people everywhere. I mean, you go,
but Detroit's one big suburb. People, I don't know if people have ever been here because no one ever visits Detroit if they don't have to.
Yeah, there's really no.
It's not how we dump on Atlanta, but yeah, we're from.
But Detroit at least is it's affordable, and there's I don't know. Atlanta just I would sort of hate Atlanta after a while.
Yeah,
like it was kind of a nice place to visit. Wouldn't want to live there. Whereas Detroit might be a nice place to live and a shitty place to visit. It's entirely possible.
I kind of feel that is how Detroit is. Yeah, like it's people kind of, who it's live not, here
they,
don't mind it.
They don't mind it, and then when you visit, you go, "It sucks." But the black people in Atlanta though, there's it's like Atlanta is called like home of the middle class black. Like it has that reputation too.
Yeah, that's on their motto.
Which isn't it's on the flag. But the other thing is that like they had this thing where, like, I was in Olympic Park, which is, like, the big park they built for the Olympics in 96. Yeah. And I was just walking around. There was a lot of, you know, people just hanging out. You know, it was a nice day. And now this is how you know it's home of the middle class black. I saw a black guy on a park bench reading the Da Vinci Code. And I was like, well, that's a middle class. That's a bougie brother right there.
That's very bougie.
And he didn't look like, you know, Brian Gumbel or anything. He was like a real black man.
Are you trying to tell me that 50 Cent and his crew ain't reading the Da Vinci Code?
This looked like a real straight up, you know, he was keeping it real and he was managing to both keep it real and read Da Vinci
Code. You're entering Queensryche territory.
Well, go ahead. No, I'm willing to take a Queensryche. Because a black guy was reading Da Vinci Code, but it was true.
I'm just saying.
It's a black guy reading the Da Vinci Code.
Because we're about inclusion here on the Corey and Joel Radio Show. We're about opening up as wide a tent as possible.
Oh, yeah. Black people, yeah.
Yeah.
They're downloading this show in record numbers. Do they have computers?
Stop.
Hey, their computers have tinted windows.
Well, with this emergency girlfriend that I end up, you know.
Yeah.
We end up going to stuff like Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I got to end up flipping around through Perry Como records for an hour. It's kind of, I enjoy it. It's kind of fun, but you know, this is the kind of stuff she's into, antiques and crap. And like we were at like a Salvation Army, and it was in a kind of a getaway neighborhood. The computers that they had,
those were great.
It was like a Franklin.
Those are great.
You know, you could run
a Wang.
You could run Logo on there. Yeah. It was like unbelievable the crap computers they had.
The big 5 1/4 inch floppies and tape drives and.
Speaking of 5 1/4 inch floppies, you were going to tell a story about a girl at the wedding.
So I saw Star Wars. You want to talk about Star Wars? You want to talk about?
Look there at was, you,
well, and that's why I sort of put down. I met a girl.
Had sexual relations with a girl with really big breasts.
Not exactly, but
Well, I have, and let me tell
no,
you.
No, well, not this particular.
Look at you sweating.
No, I'm all right, man.
Let me quote every hacky road comic of all time. You're sweating like a faggot eating a corn dog. I guarantee if you see comedy anywhere between, say, Pennsylvania and Arkansas, you will hear that in a comedy club on a Friday night from some
I'm sweating like Mike Tyson on Jeopardy. I'm sweating like a...
Hey, you get a million of them.
I'm sweating like an altar boy at the church. Anyway, so...
Did I tell you I talked to Bob Saget?
You want to just change topics like that? I'll explain.
We're talking about hacky comedy. Go ahead, finish up your...
There was a girl at the wedding who was real, real, real attractive, and I hung out with her for a minute.
Okay. All right, whatever. Well, I'm going to let you slide in.
No, I mean, you know, what do you want from me?
We get so distracted. We got ADD on this show.
Yeah, I know.
Just two fat guys with ADD. It's a bad sign.
Yeah.
You think I would go out and jog. But, yeah, I was talking about that movie that's coming out, The Wedding Crashers with Owen Wilson. These are two guys that like go to weddings and just show up they just know there's weddings and they show up to them not invited.
Like to eat and drink and get laid, kind of.
And they like hit on chicks. They're like, we never have to pay for food on the weekend.
Yeah.
And they bang girls. And I'm like, I've been to 10 million weddings, and if I haven't had a girlfriend at the time, they always suck because you always get stuck with some girl. And usually at some wedding, you'll be there, and they're like, oh, you came by yourself. Oh, and like, if you don't know the people, someone will try and hook you up with a girl, and she'll be nasty as all hell.
No, absolutely.
She'll be a circus geek. She'll be biting the hat off a chicken, and you're like, I got to get out of here, or it's just lame. You feel weird. Everybody else is married.
Yeah, well, the thing was, and even at the... Sure. Well, here's the thing with weddings in general. That's why I don't think that theory holds.
It's legendarily supposed to be a place you can get laid.
No. Here's why. Because women always want a date at the wedding. Because the women are the ones who don't want to look. Like, as much as you feel like, I don't want to look like a loser with a girl. Girls will bring just some guy who they're not banging and throw their arm around him and dance with him all night. Just to say, like, hey,
they'll bring a gay guy.
Yeah.
They'll pick up the...
Exactly.
The paper boy.
Right.
They will bring any guy you can find. They'll go down to the drugstore and, like, pay the guy to come with them. You're right. Girls will not go to a wedding by themselves.
No.
Even if they're single.
And that's why you can't get laid at a wedding. That's why you can't get laid at a wedding.
I can't get laid at a wedding for a lot of reasons, but...
Right.
You know, it's a horrible lie.
It is. It was not. It's not a good place to meet chicks at all. Although I was in a tux at my brother's wedding, and I was drunk.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know what a wedding is.
What's a wedding?
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
It is.
It's bull crap.
It's awful.
It's a bunch of bull crap. It's a woman ritual anyway. Just for you. Why don't you girls just go stick gynelotrimin on yourselves? Burn potpourri. I don't give a shit. Just don't drag us into this wedding garbage. Got to eat chicken Maurice. You got to eat the same catered food every goddamn wedding. Oh, I'm getting angry about weddings.
I don't know.
An hour of the show.
Weddings. Who needs them?
Oh, here comes the bride.
And everyone's
stop wearing white, horse. By the way, stop wearing white.
I'm turning down your microphone. I'm turning down your mic. Your mic is off now. Thank God. The only time I have a board.
Turn on my
goddamn. This is the one goddamn time I've had to turn your mic off.
I'm going
to
tell you, seriously.
In the middle of your rant about comedy club waitresses on the last show, would have been a good time.
Who are you fooling with white?
I did let the nice girls.
Yeah.
The nice girls. Bill's wife, lovely. My brother's wife.
I adore Bill's wife.
Bill's wife, fantastic.
She has no business wearing white. I mean, she could be wearing slate gray at best,
I
don't think white is a color in her vocabulary.
Argyle would be the farthest thing from white.
plaid.
We're done. We have no friends anymore. You realize that. We have no friends but people and girls that I try to date, listen to shows, and hear stories about me and 17-year-old girls and at weddings with various – and I can't – I can't.
This is why I stopped telling girls about the show. I've had a couple girls that I've gone out with that I've been listening to the show a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a bad move. I shouldn't really do that, but whatever. It's too late now. I've
I know.
Been there. Had
Speaking
it.
Speaking of girls, I – mm-hmm. We did our Star Wars show, show 13. It was a big hit. It was the most popular show.
Tell girls to listen to the show.
Because, well, it was a Star Wars. Well, I finally, you know, here was my dilemma in Atlanta. Because my brother was getting married on the Friday. I had stuff to do Wednesday and Thursday with the various rehearsals and everything.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to be able to see the new Star Wars. And I was kind of going crazy because you had done the show. You had seen it 2 weeks early. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of not going to be able to see it. And I was like, what do? I got to go find a screening and blah, blah, blah. And then... You know, and then I was just like, well, maybe I could call this girl. I don't want to get
you're gonna get
all into it. No, I'm not into it. And I said, well, maybe I'll ask this girl to go to Star Wars with me because maybe I would like to. And it's the complete opposite of girls have no place in Star Wars, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really a thing for girls.
Well, girls like it.
But the girl was into it. She was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to go to Star Wars. So then I'm like.
Actually, girls do like Star Wars.
Yeah, I kind of. Yeah.
My mom, like, loves Yoda.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't care what else goes on in the movie as long as Yoda's okay.
Yeah, well, this girl I took.
My mom's like, does Yoda die? And I'm like, Mom, it's a prequel.
Yeah, he
it's
can't.
It's before the other ones.
And this girl like really enjoyed R2-D2 spraying oil in the face of robots. Like,
well,
was really.
I'm sure she's had some stuff sprayed.
Oh, you know, that's it. I'm turning her. That's it.
Oh, that's comedy it. Club waitresses.
Oh no, don't you?
Do not do.
Oh.
Hey,
no one said this. I don't know where you get your information from. I have no idea where you get this from. It's a friend. It's a friend.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I told her to Star Wars, and she likes Star Wars. Nice. Yeah. So I waited. I basically said to her, I said...
She'll be wearing white at her wedding.
Oh, not to me. No, I'm kidding, honey. I'm so fucked. I mean, I'm not fucked. That's my problem. Anyway.
That's the worst part about it. And that's the rub.
Yeah. And we went to Star Wars, and we had a good time. But I waited, basically. I didn't see Star Wars... Like, I should on opening day, like I have the other ones, because I waited for a girl, and I saw it yesterday on the Monday when I got home.
It killed her, didn't it?
It killed me to not see it, and then I saw it, and it was good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I went to the digital presentation, mm-hmm. because it was the only way to see it, if you read anything about it in the last whatever years they've been showing it in digital. And, it was all right. It wasn't great. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. If you didn't really care, you wouldn't know it was digital versus a film.
Impressive.
Well, thank you. That's what she said. No. But if you want to go see Star Wars and you have a digital theater, maybe go if you want. But if you don't go to digital, don't think you're missing a lot, because film looks pretty darn good on a big screen. And as long as like it's not out of focus or there's a big scratch in the film, well, I guess that's where digital would have its advantage.
I guess the only advantage of digital, well, there is an advantage to digital, but you can tell it's a little clearer.
I worked in movie theaters for many years.
It's the same problem people have with like vinyl versus CD.
Right.
Like, they feel that there's a warmth to the audio.
There was nothing. Well, the thing about Star Wars, the only reason why I went out to run out and see Star Wars instead of like Hitchhiker's Guide was that Star Wars was shot digitally, and so therefore there's no break in the digital chain from camera to projection. It's all digital. That's the advantage of seeing Star Wars digital.
Sin City was digital.
Yeah.
And I saw that. And it looked fantastic.
Right. But would it not have looked good on film? Yeah, I'm playing with my mic. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Would it not have looked good on film?
I don't know. But you know what? The problem is, as a critic, I see the prints.
When they're brand friggin' new. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It.
And that's why you always see a good print.
I'm usually the first guy to see a print.
Yeah, if you're a movie dork, that's why a lot of guys, you got to go see the movie opening day. Because you want to see a good print.
If you go 2 or 3 weeks into the run of the movie, it's going to get scratched up.
There's
a little bit.
Teenager upstairs running the goddamn projector, doesn't know what he's doing.
Hey, mister.
Yeah, and the film breaks. There's splices in it. So it always does pay. You know what's the worst is when you go to like a museum, like the, we have the Detroit Film Theater at the DIA, and you see those things that have sort of toured the country, these movies, and they look like they look like garbage by the time they get to you most of the time.
Well,
they're really, really beaten up. You know, they're just not good.
Well, yeah, but it's, I mean, some of those prints are real hard to come by, too.
Right, but I mean, they only have so many prints, and they're touring because they're only playing in one or two cities a weekend and that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, you know, I was doing that, and that was, so anyway, what was I talking about? Digital. Oh, yeah. So digital was good, but the movie was good, and I'm going to talk about, here's some things that bothered me, and we're getting to the end of the show here, folks, but let me go, because we talked about all the dorky stuff. Corey gave a bunch of spoilers last time, but, okay, couple questions for you, Corey.
Yes, sir.
Here's what I didn't like. Digital C-3PO.
Where was there a digital
C-3PO? I think he was almost always a digital C-3PO, it looked like to me.
No.
I mean, except for when he was, like, really super close up, because he ran really fast for some reason a lot of times in this, and it just looked weird. It didn't look like his feet were touching the floor.
Wait, do they use Kenny Baker at all for R2 anymore?
I don't know. I would guess they probably do, but...
just for fun?
Digital 3PO... No, there was a scene where, like, Amidala's, like, looking out a window, and C-3PO runs up to her, and his feet are not touching the floor. Like, it just, it's not integrated. I don't know.
Well, I wonder how you could have...
The floor is a set.
I wonder how you could have studied these scenes so well.
No, I saw this, because I saw it in digital projection.
The movie just came out, Joel.
I saw it on digital projection last night at the Imagine and Novi. F you.
Oh, that's really
interesting. I don't. Stop it. The digital 3PO bothered me.
I didn't realize there was a digital 3PO.
Well, there was a in episode 2 when they're in the robot factory, there's like digital 3PO and stuff because he's like hanging from machines. And that's understandable, but they sort of use digital 3PO where they might have used Anthony Daniels. Maybe he's getting too fat for the costume. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, Anthony Daniels is going to be like 60.
Yeah,
so
digital 3PO buy. And I know that's a minor complaint in the whole thing. They didn't explain. Well, it doesn't make sense that Luke, what are you surfing? You're making noise when you surf. I'm realize that.
Well,
so don't
been,
surf. Just show, stupid.
You've been playing the mic all day. Yeah, anyway. All right, go ahead.
Well, it doesn't make sense that Luke doesn't know that his father is Darth Vader because he knows about the Clone Wars in episode 4.
Yeah.
And he's like, Ben, you fought in the Clone Wars? Well, Ben ended the Clone Wars when he killed Grievous.
Maybe that's an argument why they put Luke on a backwoods planet so that he wouldn't really be in the mainstream of the galaxy. So, you know what I mean? Like, they put him out in the farm.
Like, there wouldn't be a book out there. There wouldn't be...
do you ever see anybody read a book in Star Wars?
No, I've never seen anyone
that
read a
book. That
might
help Star Wars fans, too, if you picked up a goddamn book sometime.
Well, they brought they bought Dark Force Rising. What are you talking... They bought...
Oh,
well. They bought the Timothy's on episode 7, 8, 9. They read books.
I'm going to seriously come over there and swat you with a newspaper for quoting the Timothy's. Let me tell you right now. Like, we talk so much about Star Wars in the show, and I'm sort of opposed to it because, you know, I'd like to get laid again at some point soon.
Yeah. Well, I brought a girl to Star Wars.
With different girls.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
I think to meet some new women. And, yeah. So, if you're reading Star Wars novels that are not that are like extra, you know.
They're alternate.
They're spin-off
stories. They take place in the universe.
Knights of the Old Republic. Go blow yourself, okay?
The Adventures of Jango Fett, if you're reading that.
Please. Please, dear God, stop right now before I break every one of you on the stone of doom. I'm going to...
So that still doesn't jive with me. They don't really explain why Ben Kenobi disappears in episode 4.
When
Darth Vader strikes him down and he just sort of turns into...
I don't know, dude.
Ether, which they didn't really explain. They told him he had to do... Yoda was like, you have to do training while you're hiding out on Tatooine.
You know, Padme didn't wear white at her wedding, did she?
No, I don't think she did.
Because she was straight up legit about it.
And then they didn't... I never understood why it was all this, like, Padme's going to die. Because, I mean, he had this, like, dream that she was going to die. But, like, Padme just accepted the fact that she was going to die, it seemed like. And there was no... Do you know what I'm talking about?
She didn't. I don't think she did.
No, but she it was sort of like, he's like, I can save you if you were. And she was like, why didn't she just go, what do you need to save me from, stupid? I'm not going to die.
Well,
shut up. And he was just running around. Anakin was just running around going
she
like, she's going to die.
So fakakta.
Well, I did like that he did this choke, because we hadn't seen Anakin do the thing where he takes his fingers. The force choke, and he did it on Natalie Portman.
That's the newest thing in porn, by the way.
That's I got a whole tape of that.
Oh my god, I got to get you a copy of this movie I watched over the other night.
Oh really?
Oh boy,
we're talking about Star.
Yeah, but you want to talk about illegal downloads that you're not supposed to own?
What's that?
I was watching Tracy Lord's porn.
Oh, well, that's not... I don't know anything about this. They're going to confiscate our computer, and we're not going to be able to play Queensryche anymore if you keep talking.
It was at a friend's house.
Oh, yeah,
I did not own this.
Absolutely.
It was called... This movie was called Black Throat, and it was... It was.
We're talking about Star Wars.
This is the best thing ever.
It was directed
by Gregory Dark.
Okay.
One of the great, the Dark brothers.
Yeah.
Written by a guy named Johnny Jump Up. The screenplay was.
You read the credits. You're a complete pervert.
The credits were in front of the movie, though.
Yeah, I know.
And the best part was, it was like there was this dude who had a rubber rat that talked to him, and the rat was like calling him a dumb honky, and the rat was like, "Man, shut your mouth," and like. It was the craziest thing you've ever seen. And then Tracy Lords with her big bush came in.
Her
16-year-old.
All right. You know, I'm going to talk about... wow.
You got to see Black Throat. It's the best movie ever.
Black
it's so
Throat.
Good.
Better than episode 3, would you say? Is it?
Because the guy kind of kept going, what is this? He read a card that was like, come to Madame Mambo's house of fellatio. And he was like, what is this fellatio?
You know, I really, we were low on time. Oh. I really want to have
Peter
more Star
North,
Wars
young
points.
Peter North is in this.
We're gonna cut this out in post now because I want to talk about Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Who cares about? We've done so much.
See the goddamn movie. You do a goddamn 90-minute show about it, okay. And now I can't talk.
All right, talk about Star Wars.
All right,
I'll be over here.
Vader.
Yeah.
And you admitted this too. Mm-hmm. When he becomes Vader, when he rises up at the very end of the movie, off of the slab with the Emperor. The roar of Vader is not consistent with the characterization as played by David Prowse. No, he does. He's like Frankenstein. It was ridiculous. Where is Padme? Is she okay? Is there something wrong with her? I know she was alive when I saw her last. And then he's like, it was just horrible.
Lucas is a retard.
Why would he do that? He ruined it. Just it was silly.
Well, you know, at least
he's breaking his arm shackles, and
at least Lucas started shaving under his neck because remember Lucas used to have this neck beard that went down to his Adam's apple.
That's the biggest problem with Lucas.
You know what it looked like? Tracy Lord's bush.
Well, you know what? He didn't shave. They took that out digitally. The guys at ILM erased the neck beard.
Now he's shaved, but it's funny because he doesn't have a chin anymore.
Well, I shave. I don't have the neck beard. I have a beard that goes down to there.
I know, but if you got a double chin and like you got a beard, it's a weird thing. So Lucas used to let his beard go down to his
Adam's apple.
And now he shaves it, but he's got this big frog. Yeah, Lucas. Looks like a bullfrog.
I understand.
Croaking. He's got this big bloat underneath his beard.
Oh. Star Wars crap is going to come. And here's the other thing. Now, this is maybe... You talk about continuity between the original trilogy and the new prequels.
Blow through all this.
This is my last comment. You talk about you know how you have to have you know like the thing where at the fight, Kenobi grabs Anakin's lightsaber,
sure.
Right as Anakin's like ready to burn up in the lava,
yeah.
And then you do see that is the same lightsaber he gives to Luke,
sure.
In Episode 4. Okay, so that makes sense. That's good.
Nice touch.
But between Episode 3 and Episode 4, maybe this is a comment on Lucas on women, but. Why is Aunt Beru an old bag in Episode 4? Because she was smoking hot in 2 and 3.
My friends, that's the sands of time.
Aunt Beru was a hot piece.
The sands of time.
And you see her in Episode 4. She looks like a mechanic from Hoboken, New Jersey.
Yeah.
She looks like a truck in her face.
Yeah, and Uncle Owen's a real Lorenzo Lamas.
Well, right? No, but Uncle Owen, they got kind of a stocky guy with a beard. And in the movie, it's a stocky guy in his 50s.
Phil Brown.
In 4. Is that his name?
Yeah.
You know, wait a minute. You know the actor that plays the original Uncle Owen?
Sure.
What's his name?
Phil Brown.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder you never get laid. No wonder you don't have a girlfriend. Or you have your pretend girlfriend you move furniture with.
She serves many of the services.
Oh, yeah,
many
yeah,
of
yeah.
the functions of a girlfriend without a lot of the hassle.
So, folks, let's just do a couple quick plugs. Why don't you start playing us out here, Corey? We got some more music for you.
Is that finally in?
Well, you know what? Something's going to pop into my head. If I see I might see episode 3 again, and if I do, maybe we'll have some more comments, and certainly you can email us your comments about episode 3. by going to CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Email us, email@CoreyandJoelRadio.com.
We'd love to get your letters.
We'll read them on the air. We're going to read one. We got a great one that we got to read, but we'll get to that on the next show.
It's been percolating.
Oh, Ife has it. And you can see me all this weekend, big comedy weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I'm in Connections Comedy Club in Toledo, Ohio. Connections in Toledo. Go to joelthecomic.com, get more info on that. It's a great club. Come out and see me this weekend in Toledo. It'll be a good time. And podcastalley.com, you can vote for us. If you go to our website and click on the Podcast Alley link, it'll say vote now. And give us a vote. We need it. We're sinking in the ratings because we haven't done a show in 10 days.
And if by any chance you live in the Lansing, Michigan area, Okemos, East Lansing.
You're going to be in Okemos?
You can hear me on WJIM Radio on Friday mornings doing my movie reviews.
WJIM, Friday mornings.
The Big Talker.
The Big Talker with Corey Hall.
Yeah, the Mark Bayshore program.
Yeah?
You can hear me on that. I've been doing that for months, but I know.
You never plug it on this show?
Because I don't think anybody in Lansing.
No one's in Lansing or Okemos.
I got like two friends in Lansing. Maybe they'll listen to it.
Right. Yeah, in Okemos, you can listen to Corey. Do you talk about Tracy Lords Bush on that show ever? Does that ever come up on The Big Talker?
Yeah, it could. I might
okay,
this week,
well, I hope that you squeeze that
if,
in
if
this
if ever
week.
There's a movie with Bush in it, I will discuss it. I just review the week's new movies.
Okay. Yeah. And but Black Dong or whatever it was you
Black
saw.
Black Throat.
Black Throat was not in the Lewis.
It's a great movie.
Was not in the latest.
Let me tell you right now, young Peter North has like twice the capacity.
Oh. And
he's got a yogurt cannon. That guy's amazing.
You know.
He's shooting. Oh. He looks, you know what it looks like? He's got one of those cake icers. You know,
oh,
like
a turkey baster?
Yeah, like
no, it's a bag.
You never
it's
see
a,
like a professional?
Yeah,
thing
it's a frosting bag. Yeah,
that's what he's.
It's a confectioner's.
Just launching it, shooting it across the room. We could do a whole show on that, folks.
On Peter North.
Hi-o.
Hey-o. But we're gonna be back. You know, we were away for 10 days, and we're glad you could join us for this show. Show 15.
Your brother listened to these on his way to.
He was listening to these on his way to Honeymoon in Hawaii. So let's hope
he likes
it. Too
bad he didn't hear this show.
Well, boy, and when he does.
Because we left a lot of the anecdotes out.
But those could be coming on future shows. There may be a little more talk about the wedding in Atlanta. Because some nonsense was going on there.
We would have had dirty anecdotes from Bill's wedding if there had been any.
If there had been any Tukey at the Bill Sharp wedding. But so anyway, we're going to go, and we'll catch you next time. Corey and Joel Radio, and we won't be away for long. We'll do another show this week because we know you need us. We know you love us, and we need you.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.